As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. Yes, instead of 1 minute long, it is now 30 plus. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor. And he's been a managing editor here before, now he's just a guy that's hopped up on everything. He's Brandon from the internet.
Dude, I am...
hopped up on
jazz.
Everything.
I'm hopped up on everything, yeah. Yeah.
Are you I don't know what to say. Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong, or possibly even what we get right. It is very rare that the one person who reaches out to us to correct us or tell us what we do right is Brandon's brother, and it's always wrong.
Yeah. I feel like this is less. I mean, like, definitely do reach out on the social medias, and you go to Full 90, I think it's full90podcast.com.
That's a different podcast that we're doing right now, Brandon.
Ah, crap. You go to nerdtalkplus.com, I'm pretty sure.
I think that's what it was.
Or gregorsnerdtalk.com. I don't know. You'll find it. But you could go do that. But
it's nerdtalkplus.com, just to be clear.
Nerdtalkplus.com. So you can go there. You can find us on the social media. You can tell us what we get wrong or right. You can also go leave us a review on the iTunes, and we'll talk about that in a sec. But I just want to say that I was thinking about this earlier today. It is so... I've left so few bad reviews in my life, like on you know, the old Google Maps and all of the different places, Yelps and things like that, that you can leave bad reviews. I'm just thinking today how nice it feels sometimes. Like, I left this guy at the car dealership a really nice review on his service for my wife and I, and he said he got a promotion because of
what?
It. So I'm like, yeah, I know. I mean, it was like he had, like, gone above and beyond. This was back when our son was born. He, like, our car was in the shop because I crashed it because it was icy out, and they fixed it. And in the middle of fixing it, they were like, you got to get to the hospital. So we're going to, or you're at the hospital. So we're going to bring you a rental car so you can get home from the hospital with your baby. And they, like, drove it to the hospital for us and, like, left it where it needed to be. Yeah, it was awesome. They did a great job. Anyway, so if you want to review us and tell us what we get right, it's so much better than all of the people, like my brother, who tell us all the things that we get wrong. He just texted me and he said, hey, I was looking back at some of our texts and you told me that you were 100% positive that the Seattle hockey team was not going to be called the Kraken, and here we are. And I was like, thanks a lot, dude, for bringing something up from literally over 2 years ago.
You're like, this, and way to dig for it. Like, what are you doing, dude? That's commitment.
Yeah,
that's probably better than your other brother being like, have you heard the, and then insert reggae music that he's currently.
I wish it was the reggae music that he was currently into.
What's his thing?
I mean, I never know. It's really weird being, and I think you might experience this on the other end, yeah. But like, I'm the oldest of four, and it's really weird sometimes being the oldest because, especially when there's a 10-year age gap between me and my youngest sibling, where I feel like I'm literally in a different generation than my sister, who's the youngest, and even my brother, who's kind of like a cusper of Gen Z and millennial. And it like some, I just have no idea what the hell is going on, or the like the things that they're interested in. I'm like, why, how, what do you do? And like, I know it sounds like a very old guy thing to say, is like, I don't understand the kids anymore, but like, it's true. I just don't get it.
Shout outs to Siege on one of our longtime listeners and just great human being. I spent a lot of time, we'll get to it here in a second, in Florida on the Space Coast with him, for leaving a review of Old Nerd Talk Plus, and he said he is...
Pus? I have Nerd Talk Pus.
I mean, if you don't get it treated, that's what happens. He's mad at me that I couldn't remember it was Shaggy, it wasn't me, in Italian. I don't remember what he's referencing because my brain doesn't work like that, but also, please say Siege more. Hello, Siege.
Hey, Siege.
Thanks for the 5-star review. We really appreciate it. It helps get the word out and more people amongst the sea of podcasts that no one can ever navigate. Here we are. And thanks
for doing that. What we want you to do is leave us a review with a response to this week's question of the week.
It's this week's question of the week.
Which is, are electrical vehicles actually good?
We're talking about the EVs out there and this new trend towards switching to battery power. All right, well, let's kick off this week with I live in Florida now. I don't. I'm back in Washington after spending some time. We got a podcast done from, and an episode of the show, rather, done from my hotel room in Florida as I was there trying to watch NASA send the Artemis project, whose shirt I am wearing currently. Artemis 1 was supposed to launch. It did not. The new project from NASA is SLS, and they're trying to stay in the space race with now not battling against necessarily the Chinese or the Russians or whatever that is. Those things are still applicable. But now against the private companies as well. Now, NASA works really closely with SpaceX, so it's going to be a thing. But SpaceX is getting closer and closer, other than when they set fires with their rocket tests, that to being able to launch their own heavy lift rocket to be able to start the colonization of the solar system, which is exciting in itself. But now,
are we still doing that now that the Queen is dead? We're still colonizing things?
I think she's not the only colonizer. I don't think the British are the only ones. I think that they were just the best at it for a while there. So RIP the Queen, if that's your thing or whatever. I find myself in this really weird predicament where I have no attachment to that storyline at all. But every time anything happens with the royal family, people around the world go to the tabloids to find out. And it's just so, of course, when the Queen passes at an appropriately old age, that people are losing their minds. So,
yeah, it's my grandma and my great grandma, who I was pretty close with, are both from England, and so they were, I wouldn't say like hardcore royalists or anything like that, but they were pretty into it. But it makes me think, like, what if the new king was like, we are going to colonize space. They're slaves there. And then they started sending rocket ships to space. England, who is, I would imagine England is part of the, even though they've Brexited themselves out of this, are they still part of the European Space Agency, the ESA, that does most of the rocket launches from Europe?
I don't actually know what their affiliation is anymore with it. And it's one of the things that you wonder about, like the, you know, professional sports is one of the big things that like you see on a public front. There's obviously tons and tons and tons of implications with the behind the scenes stuff that no one, like the kind of the bureaucratic stuff and kind of the
trade,
you know,
and all
boring
that,
stuff, you know, that's but not entertainment generated. And since space does such a good space exploration and entertainment are so intertwined, which is fascinating, because what other branch of the government do people actually give a crap about? And I truly didn't understand how much people cared about space. I thought I knew until I went to Kennedy Space Center to watch a rocket launch. And my goodness, it is packed full of people. Like, I consider myself a space nerd, and not even the tip of the iceberg that that my knowledge there is, like, small compared. It was amazing to see such cool minds and so many people so enthusiastic for space travel.
Do you think it'd be like if I think look, I like all of the stuff we talk about on the show. I love listening to you talk about space because you actually like really get into it, right? Do you think it's because, like, if there was a space launch every other, you know, week or something like that, do you think it'd be quite the draw for people? Or do you think that it's because it's like, hey, look, somebody like NASA launching a rocket like this is such a rarity these days, especially when the goals for this, for the Artemis project, is still so romantic, right? It's like going back to the moon, even though there's, like, obviously we talked about in previous shows, like, a lot of science and, like, reasons that we're going to go back to the moon and get better at doing space travel as a species, I suppose. But the idea that, like, you know, if Burning Man was every other week, it would probably not create the second largest city in Nevada every time it happened, right? So, like, do you think that that's just, it's just, like, becomes the mecca for space nerds in the United States, or at least in North America even?
I have two thoughts on this, actually. One is, I just saw a headline that SpaceX launched 52 times in 52 weeks, which is when the shuttle program was going, that was kind of the idea that you would be seeing shuttle launches all the time because it's a reusable spacecraft. And then they weren't able to execute that because it was too complex and you had to, like, keep the people inside alive. And a lot of these SpaceX launches are without humans aboard. It's very rare that they actually send humans up because it's, there's a lot more at stake, obviously. Two, I didn't fully understand the scope of NASA and how much people are into it. Until you go into a Kennedy Space Center, they have, NASA has their biggest gift shop out of any of their locations. And the marketing department of NASA is unbelievable. The merchandising is Star Wars level merchandising. There's everything you could possibly think of they put a NASA logo onto, and there's a lot of clever stuff. Like, I spent $54 on a Hydro Flask that had the NASA noodle logo on it. It looks awesome. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But the other thing is for them is that because it's like a government thing, it's all pretty reasonably priced. Like, Hydro Flask is just expensive, and so you put another few bucks on there to license out the logo or whatever. But, like, a $20 t-shirt that I'm wearing, that's not outrageous. You go to a concert, and it's a $50 t-shirt or whatever, and then Macklemore sings a song about it, and it's ridiculous, and that's $50 for a t-shirt. But, it really opened my eyes to NASA, despite not currently getting a lot of good headlines, generating their own through marketing and through merchandising. It's kind of like Star Wars. Like I said, Star Wars, pretty much garbage, but they market the crap out of it with electric glowy lightsaber swords, you know? Like, and I love every second of it, don't get me wrong.
First of all, hot take. Star Wars, pretty much garbage, says Gregor on this show, despite the fact that I know he himself has seen each of those movies many times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Including the bad ones, which according to him is all of them, apparently.
I went back and watched the original trilogy recently when I had COVID. And it's so romantic. Like, it's great. And then you watch some of the newer stuff and it's so, like, it's just really super corny. Like, not only is there bad dialogue, but also there's, you could tell they're doing it to sell toys, not to make good quality.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus, tax for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
So we did a show the last time that you and I did this show. Mm-hmm. We talked about how you had to make a decision where the Artemis launch got scrubbed. You had to make a decision if you were going to like be good a good father and husband and return from Florida to home, or if you were going to stay in Florida for the additional 5 days mm-hmm. from when the launch was scrubbed to when it was rescheduled. And you made the decision to abandon your family. No, to stay in Florida with Siege, who is chaotic neutral, and get you. I saw pictures of you holding an alligator. So you do live in Florida now. You were holding an alligator. I think you went on a fan boat.
Yeah, they call them airboats there. I don't know why
airboats. So you are Floridian,
Florida
now?
Man, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, a couple things. One, last time we did the show, yes, like you said, my my options were Monday they scrubbed, stay till Friday for the next attempt, or go home and be with my family. And so I called my wife and she was like, listen, I want you to stay there. We spent so much money to get you there and everything. And like, what's a few more days? It'll be fine. It's not like you contribute around the house at all, so like it's
we ain't missing much.
Yeah, she talked me into that, and then our family vacation for my father-in-law's 70th birthday was the following weekend. So on Friday I would go watch it, then I would go to the airport and fly to San Francisco to meet up with them. And so on Wednesday they were like, we're gonna go again, but on Saturday. It's like so I've already like booked to stay till Friday, and then I just called my wife and I was like, I'm staying, right? And she was like, yeah, for sure. And so I missed the family vacation. I like live in Florida. I think I became a resident by accident.
Yeah.
I learned a really
you're wearing jean shorts right now.
Please call them jorts if you're gonna do
jorts. Sorry,
thank you.
You're even speaking their language now.
It was crazy because this is just anecdotal, but the first couple days I was there, I was like, I've never been somewhere where the people drive as badly as this. Orlando, you are number one in my whole life of terrible, terrible drivers. And then everyone...
They're not used to wheels. They're used to the big old fans behind them. And it's like, oh, I'm on the road now. I'm used to just being able to like cut over this median.
To be fair, I didn't know what the Everglades were before I went there.
Sure.
I thought, like, are they mountains or like a golf course that, you know, whatever. And like, no, they're just giant swamps everywhere.
Yeah.
It's weird. But yeah, the fan boat thing is like, you just see them being driven down the road behind trucks and stuff. And I'm like, what is going? This is I'm for real in Florida. But like, people are awful drivers. And then like, I say that and people are like, no, Seattle drivers are the worst. I'm like, no, they're like the slowest. And like, they're not the least safe or the worst. Like, Florida is just like, oh, I got a turn there. That's five lanes. Yeah, I'm just going for it. And I'd be like, what is going on here? And Siege would just be like, Florida, bro. And I'd be like,
and they went for Ron DeSantis and then cranked it.
I don't even think that they have those. Like, what I found was it was just a bunch of people acting independently of each other. And then, like, it's just everyone for themselves and they just go for it.
It's like those, Florida is like, I'm always surprised. So like I've done a little bit of international traveling, not a ton, but a little bit. And some of that was in Thailand where traffic laws like exist, but are more of a suggestion.
It's like whoever honks, you know, first gets to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've just got people everywhere. And like a lot of people in these rickety, you know, tuk-tuks, which are, you know, if you get hit on that or if you lean too far one way, it tips over and you're done. Part of me is always surprised when I go to other parts of our own country. I have not spent any time in Florida, but I've spent time in other parts of the country where you go and you're like, oh, laws are just different here.
Yeah.
Like this road was a one way until it became a one way in the exact opposite direction, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, are you adept to the new laws there? I mean, you're obviously home right now.
Yeah.
Around Seattle, just packing your bags to go back and live out of Siege's broom closet.
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna share the Tiguan and we're gonna drive around Florida just cutting people off.
Yeah, great.
I was having a real hard time with it, and then when he was just like, "Dude, it's just Florida," and he's from Florida, and he's like, "I'm a pretty progressive guy," and I felt like he was too, and it wasn't like Florida wasn't just. This is said without judgment, but like you see it how Florida's painted, and it's not just like the Trump blimp flying around everywhere. It's just a bunch of people don't give a crap about anyone else, apparently. And so, like, I didn't feel any type of politics at play or anything, but I'll tell you what, no one wears a motorcycle helmet, and that's just not a problem.
Oh, dude, I live like 30 minutes from the border to Idaho, which you do feel it's Florida light, but it's also Florida condensed down to North Idaho, which is like nobody wears a motorcycle helmet because liberty and freedom. And second of all, you do get all of the political ness. And now, so bringing this back to a little bit to NASA, there was a time, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. Is now
can I finish one thing real quick, and then we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Hold that thought. But the idea was after like a day and a half of being there, and just I made a couple friends while I was there. Siege is one of them, and then my coworker that works out of there by himself. And I was like, hey, let's hang out. But after hanging out with Siege, like after like 2 or 3 days, it just became like, instead of being mad at how crazy people were there, just like independently behaving without any thought for humanity, I was just like, yeah, Florida. And it just became accepted. You're just like, that guy just cut me off crazy, but like, it's Florida, so that's set your expectations. And it was really helpful for me that like,
did it free you to be able to like also be the anus on the road?
Yeah, but that's not my style, you know? So it's like, it's not, I am too conscientious probably of the people around me that aren't my family. And it's like, so like, I'm really worried about not cutting someone off or not making an illegal turn or whatever. But there was times where I was like at a light and I was like, oh, I am going the wrong, hold on 1 second, and just whipped it around and went. And I was like, I mean, as long as I go first, it's like, whatever, it doesn't matter. And so then I got back here and I was like, oh my God, everyone is so cautious and slow. And I'm just blowing by around people like boop, 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 boop. And then I'm like, dude, you can't just say Florida and do that here.
When you're not in Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it was very liberating to go somewhere where the cares are different.
I wonder if you put Florida plates on your car, if it's like, if it's kind of seen as, you know how like when other countries send ambassadors and stuff and they bring their cars and they get like diplomatic immunity to certain things, right? Like if you put Florida plates on your car in Washington state, like are you allowed to just like monster truck over people?
Dude, if you're in Spokane, like,
well, I got the Florida plates. I don't know what to tell you.
I just have like interstate immunity. Just like, I don't know. Yep, that's what I do now. So anyway, There's something about being there. And again, I found people of all types. I had to do laundry at some point because I stayed 5 days longer than I anticipated. And like, I went to a laundromat and just like a normal looking, normal's not the right word, but just like you're like, there's a standard Publix and a restaurant and all these other things. But this was just a Cuban laundromat that was just there within all these other. I'm just trying to say that there was like largely English speaking businesses there. And then I walked in and they like, there was no English to be spoken. And I was like, all right, game on. And
here we go.
It felt really great because the area I live in is not very multicultural, except for my specific neighborhood where there's a ton of international technology workers. But it was nice to go somewhere where I was like, all right, well, we're just going to figure it out. Right. And they're like, yep. And then we just figured out life and carried on with it. It was cool.
That is cool. I'm curious if, and like this, that even gets to the question that I was going to ask you is like, you've now spent some time down, at the Kennedy Space Center. You've, spent some time in Orlando and obviously you're from here and you were surprised by, you know, the turnout for a space launch. And it made me think like in the, you know, when we first, as the original during the space race, there was so much excitement and pride over the fact that we were the first to the moon, right?
Yeah.
And all of that. And there seemed to be obviously I wasn't alive in 1969, but like there seemed to be a national movement or at least collective excitement around something like this. And now it feels like it's much more niche to like a group of people who really follow and get excited about this stuff because there's a million theories why we're exposed to so much more information. You can be into so many more.
Yeah,
niche,
the Bachelorette is on tonight. I don't have time for hearing about human achievement. I have to watch love television.
Well, despite the fact that like we've been to space a bunch of times since then, we're sending, like you just said, like SpaceX sends 52 rockets a year. You know, 52 weeks, 52 rockets. Like it just kind of seems like okay, cool, great. You got the rocket scrub. Okay, whatever. Like this. Do you feel like this is something like Artemis or going to the moon again is something that'll get people stoked about it again? Because like I think even like being in Florida, the people that in Orlando that live next to this place, did you sense like that there was this like buzz around, you know, or was Buzz Aldrin around? No, did you sense that there was like any sort of buzz or general kind of like feel of excitement about this thing? Or was everybody like, oh, the Queen's dead? Actually, that was afterward, but whatever.
So, yeah, I hear what you
said. We sent her to space, like Elon Musk set that guy in the car.
That'd be so awesome. Oh, if only she was a space nerd, that'd be so
cool. I was thinking about how like a future king of England, like one of these young kids, is going to be like the king of England is going to have played Fortnite, right? And like may leave in their will, like want to be sent to space when dead.
Hey, did you know that Prince Harry doesn't have a last name?
It's just Harry?
He has four names. It's like Harry, David, John, Stanley or something like that, you know what I mean? It's like he doesn't have a last name just by the nature of his, like his kids have last names, but he doesn't. And I had to Google like three different things to try and figure this out. And I was like, no, because he's a sovereign or whatever you call it. Like he's not a Windsor. He's just Harold so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. And I'm like, what? What do you mean?
Doesn't the last name in that string be his last name?
I mean, it is the last of four listed, sure, but it's not like, it's very
interesting,
very, very odd to me. Anyway, okay, so yeah, it's really fascinating because all the hotels were sold out and everything along Cocoa Beach. Oh, dude, when you're driving Cocoa Beach, that's like the beach where you can watch the launches from. It's like beautiful, idyllic travel vacation type beaches along the coast of Florida there, Central Florida. There's like a couple islands and then you're on the final beach. It's really great. And the water's beautiful and warm and so cool. But when you're driving along on that beach strip there, you're driving on A1A, Beachfront Avenue, like Vanilla Ice. It's crazy.
You're like, wow, it's a real place.
Beachfront Avenue.
You're like, it's a real place.
Yeah, it's, and I never thought about where that might be. And that is Vanilla Ice Floridian, because I mean, that checks out.
It would make sense. Yeah.
But there was like a, at NASA, there was like this really big excitement. And then I think that there's, I think it is kind of, I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody, and that's not the goal here. The idea is that I think that there might be a little educational bias here. I felt like the older and higher in class the people I would talk to were, the more that they were informed about the rocket launch. And the younger or lower in class, the less that they knew. Generalizing big time here. But like, if the people didn't work on Cocoa Beach at a resort bar, they didn't know. But they knew because people were coming in. Or because everyone that's lived there forever has watched the launches of anything for their whole lives. And so I felt like at the, you know, I was staying just in some random hotel, just like in not in the tourism zone or anything like that. And so I'd go to the coffee shop and they'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm here for the rocket launch. And they'd be like, what's that mean? And I'm like, you know, the things that shoot into the air from 40 miles that way that like make up a lot of noise and light up the sky. And they're like, I guess. And I'm like, what? But then I would like sit down and have coffee and I'd be wearing a piece of NASA something. And then, you know, the old guy next to me would be like, oh, you're here for the launch. And then he could like talk to me about it. And so,
but I wonder, do you think that like that could be somewhat residual of the fact that like it used to be really cool and like now it's less exciting? Like, so like, of course, your older people who grew up on that stuff are going to be like way more interested in it. Where like even me, you know, I'm like, okay, cool, it's another rocket. You know, I don't follow the stuff closely like you do. And so I'm like, okay, we're sending a rocket. What makes, thankfully I know you, because like I can be like, what makes this different than the 52 that SpaceX sent up, or the all the ones at Blue Origin, and you know, the Bezos one. And is that one Blue Origin? No.
No, Bezos is Blue Origin. Oh, it had a problem in their launch today. This is crazy. I'm sorry for the tangent, but they shot their booster today with a crew capsule on the top, empty. And they got a real life test of the escape system on it, because there was a problem with the booster. I don't know if it blew up or not, but it definitely had a big fire. And then from the top of it, I'm sorry, this is crude, but the tip of the craft,
the head
of the craft went blasting off to save who would be on board from exploding. And it worked perfectly. And the chutes deployed and it came back down to Earth just 1 minute and change after the launch of it. And so, some problems for Bezos and his Blue Origin, to be expected. But that makes me worry so much about Artemis and the SLS. That's the Artemis is the program. SLS is the space launch system that this new rocket is. That, you know, Blue Origin's fired 20 rockets or 50 rockets or whatever, and they had a problem at this point. NASA can't even get this rocket to hold fuel.
Well, I mean, it kind of seems like rockets and space travel is kind of like this game of, you're never going to be 100%. You're just going to be as good as you can be for now, which seems wild when you're talking about lighting off incredibly large combustion engines and explosions to launch things off of the planet and outside of the atmosphere, and perhaps with people attached to it as well. So very cool for Blue Origin to like be able to test their ejecting head that will like protect the little people inside of it, but also like the fact that you've done this 100 times or however many times, 50 times, and still like we haven't like just it's I was thinking about this with childbirth. Like, we've been doing childbirth as a species for ever, right? Like, for as long as our species has existed. Like, and we still, anybody who's ever witnessed childbirth or has heard stories about it, like, we still have such a hard time, like, delivering humans. And even though it's, like, one of the most fundamental things, it's like, which can obviously so many things can go wrong. Obviously, so many things can go wrong with a rocket as well. But, like, you do it enough times, you build it the same exact way. It worked last time. What happened this time?
Right.
You know?
I totally agree. I saw a stat that, like, it was from, I'm reading John Green's book, the Anthropocene Reviewed. It's fantastic. And one of the things he talks about is how childbirth, like, half of kids wouldn't make it to age 5 before, and a quarter of the women would die in childbirth. And so we've obviously gotten way better about that, despite the fact in the U.S., the stats for mortality at birth for women is now getting worse in the last 5-10 years or whatever. Yeah, it's so like the controversy around the SLS is that, and I didn't know this and shame on me, but I read this big article when I got back from Ars Technica that was talking about how now there's been 6 attempts to fuel up the SLS and not necessarily launch it, but there's been 6 attempts to fuel it for launch. And 2 of them happened to be while I was there, and they didn't launch. But the other 4 were before that, and they've never been able to fuel it to capacity for the, because liquid hydrogen is so tricky. And so
they need that flex seal. It just keeps leaking out. They just need to go whoop, yeah, slap it on there. That's what's happening. They just,
well,
they
Billy
just
Mays is
some.
Dead. Okay, Brandon. Yeah. I don't know what you expect. I don't think that's actually the right guy. But anyway, what I read about was that hydrogen, being the smallest atom, it's 1, right? It's hydrogen then carbon, I think, on the periodic elements. And because it's so small, when you try to freeze it, it gets even tighter or something. And then when you try to put it into the rocket, it just, all it does is escape. It just has, like, you have to factor in that there's no, that you have to build something that can hold the smallest molecule in order to transfer it. And so there was like big controversy when they designed SLS to be like, don't do liquid hydrogen because it's impossible. It's like, it's so difficult to work with and you're just going to create a lot of problems. Well, there I am waiting for it to go up after being in Florida for 9 days and it doesn't go up. And I read this article being like, well, of course it didn't, because it's liquid hydrogen is such a pain in the butt. And I'm like, oh, great. I didn't know that that was a limiting factor when I agreed to this trip. And shame on me for not doing due diligence, but that sucks to get there and be like, oh, we don't even know how to fuel this thing.
It's like they knew beforehand that that could be an issue. And they were like, oh, well, we got it scheduled. It's like, if you've ever been on responsible for a project and the higher ups just say, okay, you have to deliver it on this date. And you're like, hey, this thing don't work, or this thing is not ready to be ready for that date. Yeah. And then they're like, nope, still got to do it. Greg's coming and we got to launch the thing.
Return of the Jedi when the Emperor shows up to make sure that they're back on schedule. I get it.
Yeah.
It's a fully operational Death Star. Yeah. It's
Look around. It's the toilets are working. The big laser thing, not quite ready yet. They're like, that's why we came.
The Emperor's coming here. We shall redouble our efforts.
If the Emperor had read the last 70 emails that we sent him, he would have known that the damn thing wasn't ready to fire the laser yet. But here he is. He's showing up, and we don't have the dang thing done. Gregor's here. I wrote a paper about it.
I want there to be a film now to add to the garbage Star Wars films. I want there to be a film about the Empire's bureaucracy and like the couple people below the Emperor. Like, the Emperor shows up and he's like, hey, like in Robot Chicken. Yeah. He's just kind of like a character.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I want it to be the people that are below the Emperor being like, he doesn't check his freaking email. What am I supposed to do? He force choked the last 3 guys. I don't know what to tell you. Like, well, he can check his email with his mind, you know. But he's not. He's just in there listening to Jimmy Buffett. Like, what is going on?
Dude, did you just purr my last email, the Emperor? Are you kidding me?
So, yeah, it's like, I want to see that show where it's like, what is he responsible for? He's like, the growth in Sector 5 isn't strong enough. We need more. The hydrogen needs to be contained better. Like that, you know? Like, you think I have time to read all your emails? I'm the freaking Emperor.
Somebody get my Wookiee czar.
Yeah, so to answer your bigger question here, I think that with all things right now, there's so many avenues of information coming in that there's not really a thing that anyone is as pumped up about as we potentially were 10 years ago. And I think that goes from the NFL, the biggest sports league in the country. I think that there's people just have other options now, from that to space, to music, to film. Like, rarely does everyone come together for like one thing and be like, this is the thing. Like, the closest is like the new Game of Thrones show. But I remember when the original was on and I'd be like talking about Game of Thrones all the time. And I like, you had to have HBO to watch it, and there's like a price point there, and how many people were not watching it and just pretending to be, just knew that it was pop culture or whatever without actually seeing it? And it's,
well, and I think it's true as well. It's like the bigger that something gets, the more volatile they become as well. And so it's like the bigger that we get excited about space, you've always got the guy that's like, well, shouldn't we be spending money on climate change? And it's like, yes, absolutely, you're not wrong, but also like you're gonna get that bigger voice against the thing that you're excited about while you're also getting this thing excited. And plus, I just follow the TikToks that say that rocket launches aren't real and that the Earth is flat anyway. And so realistically, what's happening is that this is all a big ruse from NASA. Oh, we can't launch the rocket. It's like, you never were able to launch the rocket because, you know, and the Illuminati told you, and the Illuminati has NASA in big flat Earth pocket, and now they can't launch the ship because they know where it's going to go, which is nowhere.
I saw someone the other day talking about, of all the conspiracy theories, flat Earth is the most fun because there's like no one gets harmed by flat Earth.
Right.
Like no one, there's it's so wildly untrue and it doesn't affect anything that like,
yeah,
you know, be a kook all you want for that or whatever.
Okay. It does harm somebody. It harmed the one guy who got crowdfunded his own rocket to launch so he could get up and see the app. Like, what is it called?
The curvature of the earth.
The curvature of the earth. Yeah, but there's like a term for it. But like, he wanted to get up high enough so he could prove that obviously the earth was flat, and then he like died because his rocket sucked.
You know, sometimes the problems have a way of sorting themselves. Which brings us back to this week's question of the week.
Are electric vehicles good?
So
I mean, electric vehicle, you can't throw an electric engine on a rocket and get that bad boy to space. So my answer, easy, no.
Well, while I was at the Space Coast, again, Orlando's 40 miles inland from the coast. And so you have to like actually commute out there. So then I had to have a rental car, all these things, right? And when I went to book it, the rental car company gave me a great rate on... No, it was they gave me an upgrade to a Tesla. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. I want an electric car so bad. And they gave me the opportunity to have like a 5-day test drive. Okay, killer. So I took them up on it. And it was... The car is so fast and really cool, but it has massive weird things going on with it. They clearly design it to be an autopilot car because in front of the steering wheel, when you're looking out the windshield and you look down to see how fast you're going, there's no display whatsoever. You have to literally look at the center console to see how fast you're going, which is mind-boggling to me that you would want to take your eyes off the road to be able to do that. And as my friend John Manley pointed out, well, how else are you going to play your game of Tetris while you're driving? And okay, fine. And they have all kinds of games in the center console of the Teslas. A lot of weird things that the Tesla does, and weird operations, and you have to, like, they're just trying to reinvent how we drive, and it seems very unnecessary because the way that we do it now is, like, pretty functional and, like, worked out pretty great. So I drove this thing. What I found was that it has 250 miles worth of range, but you have to always know where a supercharger is in order to fill it back up. And you can charge for like a half hour and get like, you know, like 30% recharged or something. I don't know how much it was, but like, and you go and you pay for these superchargers. There's an account associated with the rental car, and like it just tacks it on or whatever. You know, it's like filling up your car with gas, anything else, except for it takes a half an hour. And so you can't just be like, oh, I'm almost out of gas, better pull over and just grab some, and then 2 minutes from now, I'll be on the road again. It's like, you're screwed.
You got to hope you're not late for something.
Yeah, or that you didn't misplan it or whatever it is. And so the car is so fun to drive. It like reacts really well. It's super high speed. It like, it accelerates like nobody's business. And this is just like an entry level kind of basic one. I love it. I would absolutely, like, it wouldn't be probably my first choice of an electric car. But if somebody gave me the opportunity, if they're like, here, you can have this one, I'd be like, you betcha. Which is obvious. Any car, pretty much, that someone gave me, I'd be pumped about. But you know what I mean. I think the spirit of what I'm saying. So then I returned that car, and then I'm going to stay longer. So I rent another one. And then I have to after a few days of having that one, I go to extend the rental on it. And they're going to charge me $500 to extend it. But for $47 a day, I can get a new rental. So I have to drive back to the airport and drop it off and pick up another one. And I'm pretty cheesed about that or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking to the lady. I'm like, why wouldn't you just let me do this? And she's like, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. And I was like, okay, well, I need another car. Which one can I get? Great. And I was like, no, this one sucks. I don't want this one. How about that one? And just, can you just give me your newest car? Just whatever that is within my price point, just the newest one. And she was like, how do you feel about electric cars? And I was like, yeah, another Tesla. And she was like, the Chevy Bolt. And I was like, I've never considered myself as someone who would get excited about an American car, but it's the newest one. It's going to work. I just want it to have the like distance detection on the car in front of you, so it slows itself down if you are like, whatever.
Because Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, great. I got to tell you, I got into this electric car and it was badass. Like, I would recommend the Chevy Bolt to anyone ever forever. It was so fun. It had all the bells and whistles and it had a screen in front of you that you could read to see how fast you were going. And just, it's not my favorite car in terms of looks or whatever, but it, like, I called my wife and was like, you got to test drive this. She needs a car that has a short hood so she can see over it because she doesn't like the big cars of today, like my Outback or whatever. And she just, and we want an electric car. And I was like, you gotta test drive this. It's incredible. But then again, I go to meet my buddy on the last night and I'm like weighing out, am I going to meet him and have to find a charger, or am I going to just stay here and have enough to return the car in the morning when I leave? And so I'll meet him. So I had to find a supercharger, and you have to look it up and you have to hope no one's using it and all these things. And again, I had to sit for an hour in a parking lot being like, boop, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, while it's just charging. The least efficient way of doing these things. So, the question of the week, are electric vehicles actually good? I want to know what people think about this, because if you don't own a...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
The controversy around the SLS is that, and I didn't know this, and shame on me, but I read this big article when I got back from Ars Technica that was talking about how now there's been 6 attempts to fuel up the SLS and launch, and not necessarily launch it, but there's been 6 attempts to fuel it for launch. And 2 of them happened to be while I was there, and they didn't launch. But the other 4 were before that, and they've never been able to fuel it to capacity. Because liquid hydrogen is so tricky. And so
they need that flex seal. It just keeps leaking out. They just need to go whoop, yeah. Slap it on there. That's what's happening.
Dead. Okay, Brandon. Yeah. I don't know what you expect. I don't think that's actually the right guy. But anyway, what I read about was that hydrogen being the smallest atom, it's 1, right? It's hydrogen then carbon, I think, on the periodic elements. And because it's so small, when you try to freeze it, it gets even tighter or something. And then when you try to put it into the rocket, it just, all it does is escape. It just has, like, you have to factor in that there's no, that you have to build something that can hold the smallest molecule in order to transfer it. And so there was, like, big controversy when they designed SLS to be like, don't do liquid hydrogen because it's impossible. It's, like, it's so difficult to work with, and you're just going to create a lot of problems. Well, there I am waiting for it to go up after being in Florida for 9 days, and it doesn't go up, and I read this article being like, well, of course it didn't, because it's liquid hydrogen is such a pain in the butt. And I'm like, oh, great. I didn't know that that was a limiting factor when I agreed to this trip. And shame on me for not doing due diligence, but that sucks to get there and be like, oh, we don't even know how to fuel this thing.
It's like they knew beforehand that that could be an issue. And they were like, oh, well, we got it scheduled. It's like, have you ever been on responsible for a project and the higher ups just say, okay, you have to deliver it on this date. And you're like, hey, this thing don't work, or this thing is not ready to be ready for that date. Yeah. And then they're like, nope, still got to do it. Greg's coming and we got to launch the thing.
Watched this Return of the Jedi when the Emperor shows up to make sure that they're back on schedule. I get it.
Yeah.
It's a fully operational Death Star. Yeah.
Look around. It's the toilets are working. The big laser thing, not quite ready yet. They're like, that's why we came.
The Emperor's coming here. We shall be double efforts.
If the Emperor had read the last 70 emails that we sent him, he would have known that the damn thing wasn't ready to fire the laser yet. But here he is. He's showing up, and we don't have the dang thing done. Gregor's here. I wrote a paper about it.
I want there to be a film now to add to the garbage Star Wars films. I want there to be a film about the Empire's bureaucracy and like the couple people below the Emperor. Like, the Emperor shows up and he's like, hey, like in Robot Chicken. He's just kind of like a character. But like, I want it to be the people that are below the Emperor being like, he doesn't check his freaking email. What am I supposed to do? He force choked the last 3 guys. I don't know what to tell you. Like, well, he can check his email with his mind, you know, but he's not. He's just in there listening to Jimmy Buffett. Like, what is going on?
Dude, did you just purr my last email, the Emperor? Are you kidding me?
So, yeah, it's like, I want to see that show where it's like, what is he responsible for? He's like, the growth in Sector 5 isn't strong enough. We need more. The hydrogen needs to be contained better. Like that, you know? Like, you think I have time to read all your emails? I'm the freaking Emperor.
Somebody get my Wookiee Czar.
Yeah, so To answer your bigger question here, I think that with all things right now, there's so many avenues of information coming in that there's not really a thing that anyone is as pumped up about as we potentially were 10 years ago. And I think that goes from the NFL, the biggest sports league in the country. I think that there's people just have other options now, from that to space, to music, to film. Like, rarely does everyone come together for like one thing and be like, this is the thing. Like, the closest is like the new Game of Thrones show. But I remember when the original was on and I'd be like talking about Game of Thrones all the time, and you had to have HBO to watch it, and there's like a price point there. And how many people were not watching it and just pretending to be, just knew that it was pop culture or whatever without actually seeing it? And it's,
well, and I think it's true as well. It's like the bigger that something gets, the more volatile they become as well. And so it's like the bigger that we get excited about space, you've always got the guy that's like, well, shouldn't we be spending money on climate change? And it's like, yes, absolutely, you're not wrong, but also like, you're gonna get that bigger voice against the thing that you're excited about, while you're also getting this thing excited. And plus, I just follow the TikToks that say that rocket launches aren't real, and that the Earth is flat anyway. And so realistically, what's happening is that this is all a big ruse from NASA. Oh, we can't launch the rocket. It's like, you never were able to launch the rocket, because you know, and the Illuminati told you, and the Illuminati has NASA in big flat Earth pocket, and now they can't launch the ship because they know where it's going to go, which is nowhere.
I saw someone the other day talking about, of all the conspiracy theories, flat Earth is the most fun because there's like no one gets harmed by flat Earth.
Right.
Like, no one, there's it's so wildly untrue and it doesn't affect anything that, like,
yeah,
you know, be a kook all you want for that or whatever.
Okay. It does harm somebody. It harmed the one guy who got crowdfunded his own rocket to launch so he could get up and see the app. Like, what is it called?
The curvature of the earth.
The curvature of the earth. Yeah, but there's like a term for it. But like, he wanted to get up high enough so he could prove that obviously the earth was flat, and then he like died because his rocket sucked.
You know, sometimes sometimes the problems have a way of sorting themselves. Which brings us back to this week's question of the week.
Are electric vehicles good?
So
I mean, electric vehicle, you can't throw an electric engine on a rocket and get that bad boy to space. So my answer, easy, no.
Well, while I was at the Space Coast, again, Orlando's 40 miles inland from the coast. And so you have to like actually commute out there. So then I had to have a rental car, all these things, right? And when I went to book it, the rental car company gave me a great rate on... No, it was they gave me an upgrade to a Tesla. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. I want an electric car so bad. And they gave me the opportunity to have like a 5-day test drive. Okay, killer. So I took them up on it. And the car is so fast and really cool, but it has massive weird things going on with it. They clearly design it to be an autopilot car, because in front of the steering wheel, when you're looking out the windshield and you look down to see how fast you're going, there's no display whatsoever. You have to literally look at the center console to see how fast you're going, which is mind-boggling to me that you would want to take your eyes off the road to be able to do that. And as my friend John Manley pointed out, well, how else are you going to play your game of Tetris while you're driving? And okay, fine. And they have all kinds of games in the center console of the Teslas. A lot of weird things that the Tesla does, and weird operations, and you have to, like, they're just trying to reinvent how we drive, and it seems very unnecessary because the way that we do it now is, like, pretty functional and, like, worked out pretty great. So I drove this thing. What I found was that it has 250 miles worth of range, but you have to always know where a supercharger is in order to fill it back up. And you can charge for like a half hour and get like, you know, like 30% recharged or something. I don't know how much it was, but like, and you go and you pay for these superchargers. There's an account associated with the rental car, and like it just tacks it on or whatever. You know, it's like filling up your car with gas, anything else, except for it takes a half an hour. And so you can't just be like, oh, I'm almost out of gas, better pull over and just grab some, and then 2 minutes from now I'll be on the road again. It's like, you're screwed.
You got to hope you're not late for something.
Yeah, or that you didn't misplan it or whatever it is. And so the car is so fun to drive. It like reacts really well. It's super high speed. It like it accelerates like nobody's business. And this is just like an entry level kind of basic one. I love it. I would absolutely like it. Wouldn't be probably my first choice of an electric car. But if somebody gave me the opportunity, if they're like, here, you can have this one, I'd be like, you betcha. Which is obvious. Any car, pretty much, that someone gave me, I'd be pumped about. But you know what I mean. I think the spirit of what I'm saying. So then yeah. I returned that car, and then I'm going to stay longer, so I rent another one. And then I have to, after a few days of having that one, I go to extend the rental on it, and they're going to charge me $500 to extend it. But for $47 a day, I can get a new rental, so I have to drive back to the airport and drop it off and pick up another one. And I'm pretty cheesed about that or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking to the lady. I'm like, why wouldn't you just let me do this? And she's like, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. And I was like, okay, well, I need another car. Which one can I get? Great. And I was like, no, this one sucks. I don't want this one. How about that one? And just, can you just give me your newest car? Just whatever that is within my price point, just the newest one. And she was like, how do you feel about electric cars? And I was like, yeah, another Tesla. And she was like, the Chevy Bolt. And I was like, I've never considered myself as someone who would get excited about an American car, but it's the newest one. It's going to work. I just want it to have the like distance detection on the car in front of you, so it slows itself down if you are like, whatever.
Because Florida.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, great. I got to tell you, I got into this electric car and it was badass. Like, I would recommend the Chevy Bolt to anyone ever forever. It was so fun. It had all the bells and whistles, and it had a screen in front of you that you could read to see how fast you were going. And just, it's not my favorite car in terms of looks or whatever, but it, like, I called my wife and was like, you got to test drive this. She needs a car that has a short hood so she can see over it because she doesn't like the big cars of today, like my Outback or whatever. And she just, and we want an electric car. And I was like, you got to test drive this. It's incredible. But then again, I go to meet my buddy on the last night, and I'm like weighing out, am I going to meet him and have to find a charger, or am I going to just stay here and have enough to return the car in the morning when I leave? And so I'll meet him. So I had to find a supercharger, and you have to look it up, and then you have to hope no one's using it and all these things. And again, I had to sit for an hour in a parking lot being like, boop, boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, while it's just charging. The least efficient way of doing these things. So, the question of the week, are electric vehicles actually good? I want to know what people think about this, because if you don't own a home where you can have a charger and you can plug it in for 8 hours overnight while you're not driving it and you're sleeping, I can't imagine that having an electric car is good.
I get concerned. This is not where I thought you were going to take it, because I feel like this is the fun conversation to have about electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. About like, are they good to drive? Are they convenient when you have to do these long stops for charging, things like that? Yeah. I thought you were going to take it to the fact that we've recently learned that the world's lithium reserves are potentially not going to be enough to meet the demand of everybody owning an electric car. And so it kind of renders the whole thing moot of like, we still have to have renewable, obviously electricity is a renewable resource, right? It doesn't generate emissions, so good, great for the planet, yada yada. But also like the batteries are made out of lithium, and we need to be able to build enough batteries as all of these different states like California and potentially Washington down the road start to legislate about when you can actually, you know, how long we're actually going to be able to buy combustible engine vehicles over the next few years. And all new vehicles sold within the state are going to have to be electric vehicles. I live right next to Idaho, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So I'm not worried about it.
They're going to ban electric vehicles, not...
Yeah. Your car, your emissions test doesn't produce enough emissions. Failed.
What's this zero crap? Yeah, it's... this is a ethics or business ethics discussion that like goes on, and like I feel like the progress, to make the progress, you got to make some pretty big leaps. And then that forces everyone to figure out how to do it and to make it work. But like, if you run out of lithium, I read a story today that there's some scientists that are using lobster and crab shells to make batteries. And I'm like,
okay.
Was the liquid like melted butter or like what's going on here? And like, but cool, I guess you're going to do that. You're going to make batteries out of that stuff. And that would be better than the thing that we don't have, lithium. But like also, Bezos is just going to send mining rockets to asteroids that we identify has whatever you could use instead of lithium to make a battery. And then
we discovered an asteroid full of crabs. This is perfect.
How do you think we got life on Earth?
Yeah. No, this is, I mean, great. We found an alternative way to make batteries. It turns out if you take the shells of crabs and lobsters that we can make batteries. Great. Now lobsters and crabs are extinct.
Well, I said naked, but yeah, like you just have a bunch of like, grow your shell back, dummy. And like, ah, I'm cold. And then there's like some lady that's like, nudity is a sin. Like,
and the crab, pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm curious to know if like you think that without talking about the emissions and all that stuff, if you think it's practical to own an electric car, let us know. Nerdtalkplus.com to find us, and at Hey Greg or at Brandon MG on the social medias and stuff. Let us know what you think.
I've never driven an electric car, so
it's worth doing a test drive of a Tesla.
I want to try it.
It's worth it. Just like go ask to test drive it. It's awesome. They're so fun. Yeah. It's so fun. I recommend it for everybody. Is it practical? We'll find out. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of yet another very not heady show where we look back and try and figure out what is it that we learned this week. Brandon, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if I ever drive in Florida, I have to forget everything I know about driving.
It's more importantly, it's just that rather than letting yourself get mad, just be like, Florida.
Florida.
Yeah.
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I don't know, Brandon. I learned a lot of stuff that we didn't talk about because we just talked about going to space and Bezos and...
Yeah. I learned that you can make batteries out of crab shells. And so that's what are the Cracker Barrel, the place that... Is that the place where everybody throws the crab, the stuff on the ground?
Joe's like Crab Shack, maybe?
The Crab Shack, yeah. Like, that. Maybe that's been their plan all this time, is they've known. Crab Shack has known. This is my second conspiracy theory of the show. The Crab Shack has known for decades that they can make batteries out of crab and lobster shell. So they have been unwittingly using our labor that we paid them for to crack these shells and dispose of them where they've been collecting them so that they can then monopolize the market for crab batteries. Crab batteries.
It's like the equivalent of the you pick 'em blueberry farms or whatever. Like, yeah, we don't want
to. You like,
now that we can't pay people that are here illegally to do it, we'll just have photo ops and tell people that it's cute. You're a farmer.
It's like, oh, it's cute. You're like, oh, you get to eat a few of the blueberries. Good for you. Leave the basket here, though.
Should learn to grow crabs on trees and then combine the two.
Oh, dude, that's what. Where do you think crab apples come from? Nerd talk,
talking about nerd talk, yeah! Thanks for hanging out with us. 10 a.m. every Tuesday. We're live on the Odyssey app, or you can always listen on demand, also on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gregor. He's Brandon. Thanks.
Bye.